This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, this week on our program, we continue with the second message in a new series called Seven Prayers That Can Change Your Life. This week, we look at Psalm 51 as a prayer. We looked at Psalm 51 earlier this spring as one of the penitential psalms, where David was confessing his sin and showing contrition and repentance. We look at it differently. We look at it as a prayer today, a prayer that just may be the prayer that you and I need to pray this week. It's the ultimate prayer of confession of sin and acknowledging God's role in forgiveness. God bless you as you listen all this week. Jeff Greenfield wrote a new book, he's quite an author, with this interesting title, If Kennedy Lived. And so he wrote what's called an alternate history, meaning the first and second terms of President Kennedy, an alternate history, speculating what might have been. Now, some people would say, well, that's a false exercise because it never will happen, and that they're right. But I want to do something today that some of you might consider a false exercise. What if you lived your life as a man or a woman who really knew you were forgiven? Think about that for a minute. What if you really lived your life and you truly, not intellectually, but emotionally and psychologically, in your psyche, you really believed you're forgiven? Would it make any difference how you live? And I believe it would. I had a fascinating conversation with a Christian psychologist or psychiatrist years ago, discussing with him, ironically, a common problem that churches have. I was curious. I said, whatever his name was, Dr. So-and-so, why is it that people will come to church and consider themselves faithful members of that church, but you'll see them once a month, every 6 weeks, Christmas and Easter, and maybe a couple other times when there's a funeral or something? And I thought he would have something profound to say psychologically. He said, nothing like that. He said, Randy, I said, I think I can tell you why, partially. He said, in my opinion, some of those people don't feel forgiven. Wow. It's not what I expected him to say. And so he said, it's hard for some people, even who consider themselves church members, Christians, to go and share in communion and share in worship because it's a reminder to them subconsciously, if not consciously, their doubts about their forgiveness. And today, we're going to use a prayer from Scripture, seven prayers that change people's lives. We're in the second one today, where we're going to let God do what only He can do. There's one thing today that God can do that no one else can do that you'll never be able to do for yourself. I'll never be able to do it for myself, and that's forgive my sin. And that's create a new heart in me, because God can do only what God can do. It's in Psalm 51. David wrote this after committing the sin of adultery and murder. You know the sin of David and Bathsheba. We don't have to go into the sordid details of it. A lot of people, though, don't know that he had the husband of the woman with whom he had the affair killed. Uriah was his name. Strategically had it connived and planned, schemed, conspired to have him murdered on the battlefield, and that's exactly what happened. And some Bible scholars think that David may have gone a whole year in denial. You and I can deny things in our own life for a long time. You've done it, so have I. Some of you are doing it right now. In something going on in your life. And I have no idea what I'm talking about with you. I have no idea, but you know. Psalm 51 says this, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Well, so begins Psalm 51, the prayer that can change your life this week. And I really mean that. We'll continue tomorrow, beginning with the reading of the entire scripture and continue from there. God bless you, and thanks for listening to crosshope.org.
Well, yesterday we began the second message in a series called Seven Prayers That Can Change Your Life. We're looking at Psalm 51 this week, not as an intellectual argument or a historical piece. We're looking at it as a prayer that you can pray. A prayer that I can pray. We begin with the reading of David's prayer to the Lord God Almighty after committing the sin of adultery and murder in David's life. It's a powerful moment. It's in his life, an intimate moment that we get to look at by listening and learning from his prayer. God bless you as you listen. And some Bible scholars think that David may have gone a whole year in denial. You and I can deny things in our own life for a long time. You've done it, so have I. Some of you are doing it right now in something going on in your life, and I have no idea what I'm talking about with you. I have no idea, but you know. Psalm 51 says this, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." Then verse 10, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And then the last verse, 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." I want to talk to you today about a psalm that one Bible scholar said this is the most important psalm of the Old Testament in terms of pointing the way to Christ. In his opinion, he said there is no other psalm that points to Jesus more than Psalm 51, where David comes to terms and comes to confront the sin in his life, which, by the way, it's not a Kodak moment when you confront the sin in your life. It's a holy moment. It's not a Kodak moment. It's a holy moment when you and I confront the sin in our own lives. And I really believe that with all my heart. First, verse 1 says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions." Emphasis on the word your mercy, your compassion, your great love. Have you ever talked about a family member? Have you ever talked about a friend and you've said this? "You know, it's just not his nature to forgive." You've got a relative in your family, you say, "It's just not her nature to forgive. She doesn't have it in her to forgive." Anybody ever said that about you? And I'm convinced that some people that we say he'll never forgive, it's because it's not in anybody's nature to forgive. It's not in your nature and it's not in mine. But let me tell you whose nature it is in. It's in God's nature. And everything flows in your life that's positive out of the forgiveness of Christ. Everything flows out of his mercy. Everything flows out of his grace, even again, whether we know it or not. It all flows out of his grace and mercy. "Wash away my iniquity," verse 2, "and cleanse me from my sin." I found out the word iniquity has to do with my condition, not just specific sin. We're not only sinners, but we have a sinful nature. And you need to know that, and so do I.
Well, maybe you've never thought of yourself as a person who not only sins, but who has a sinful nature. But that's true with both of us. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. To listen to this message again or any other message you'd like to hear again on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org.
"Wash away my iniquity," verse 2, "and cleanse me from my sin." I found out the word iniquity has to do with my condition, not just specific sin. We're not only sinners, but we have a sinful nature. And you need to know that, and so do I. We're not just people who commit sin. We're sinners in terms of our nature. And with that phrase, "Lord, wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Isn't that an interesting metaphor that all of us seek to have? "Lord, wash away my sin." There's something powerful about the cleansing power of water, just in life in general, in terms of cleansing the body. And so it's natural for David to say, "Lord, wash my soul and my spirit. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Then verse 3, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." I wanted to give you a couple of examples of what's it mean, my sin is always before me. This week, I read of an eye surgeon in New York who, when he was a teenager, was involved in
a lot of crime. Hung out with a rough crowd on the Lower East Side of New York. He was involved in the beating of another man, and that resulted in the man being left blind in one eye. He went through the legal system and all that, but eventually got his life together and would go on to college and then would go on to medical school, became an eye surgeon. Listen to what he says. He said, "I never perform an eye surgery that I don't remember the man that I made blind. I never perform an eye surgery that I don't remember the man that I helped contribute to his blindness." What is that example of? My sin is ever before me. Another illustration I can use of it, some of you know, have somebody in your family, or it's you. You know somebody who's in constant pain. They have knee pain, they have hip pain, they have back pain, and every day they get up in the morning, pain. They go to bed at night, pain. And maybe they have a few hours relief in the middle of the night with some pain medication. But their pain is ever before them. They live with it 24/7. And David said, "Lord, my sin is always in front of me. I know it. I get up in the morning, my sin's there. I go to lunch, my sin is there. I come home at the end of the day, my sin is there." Some of you know that feeling because you've experienced it. And what does he say in the very next verse, verse 4, "Against you, Lord, and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." I think this is one of the most important thoughts in this whole chapter. Even though David knew that he sinned against a woman named Bathsheba, and by the way, anyone who has an affair sins against the person with whom they're having an affair. Not throwing rocks, that's just part of it. But David realized he sinned against Uriah, her husband, and then he doubly sinned against Uriah and that he had him killed. So he knew that his sin was against people. But David was insightful enough to know that ultimately his sin was against the Father. Would it make any difference in the way you conduct your life if you recognize that every sin is against the Father? And it speaks to me in a powerful way. Everything we do that violates the will and the word of God is ultimately against the Father. So David points a great insightful truth here. "Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight."
Well, would it make any difference if you and I really believe that every sin we commit ultimately is against the Father? I think we need to pray for new eyes to look at our sin and to realize that every sin is a wound against a person, a Heavenly Father. Our website is crosshope.org. I hope you know that already, crosshope.org. To listen to this message again, that's crosshope.org.
I love what Max Lucado says about confession of sin. Confession does for the soul what preparing the land does for the field. Before the farmer sows the seed, he works the acreage, removing the rocks and pulling the stumps. He knows that seed grows better if the land is prepared. Confession is the act of inviting God to walk the acreage of your heart. There's a rock of greed over there. "Father, I can't budge it. And that tree of guilt near the fence, the roots are long and deep. And may I show you some dry soil, Lord, too crusty for seed? God's seed grows better if the soil of the heart is cleared." Confession invites the Father to work the soil of the soul. Wow. Confession invites the Father to work the soil of the soul. Confession, let me tell you what confession is. It's not just admitting, "Yeah, I'm guilty." Confession is acknowledging you've wounded the Father. You know, if you've ever had somebody sin against you, this could be very personal, very, very private for some people. Somebody sinned against you. You didn't want them to just acknowledge their wrongdoing. You wanted them to say, "I acknowledge that I hurt you. I acknowledge that I wounded you. And I hurt your spirit by what I did." And that's what the Father wants. He wants us to say, "Lord, against you and you only have I done this evil in your sight." And that's a powerful moment, a holy moment, as I said earlier. Verse 10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." This is an exciting verse to me. And I don't know if you may have heard some other minister tell you this, but it's true. When David says, "Create in me a clean heart," The word that he uses in the Hebrew for create is the same word that's in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you get that? David was saying, Lord, use the same creative power to forgive me and to give me a new heart that you used in creation itself. Wow. Use your creative capacity, your creative power that you used at the beginning of the universe, and use that to create a clean heart in me. Get this, if you don't get anything else, you'll never get a new heart just by reformation. You'll never get a new heart by reading 5 books on how to clean up your act. You'll never get a new heart by making resolutions every January 1st. You get a new heart when you let God do what only God can do, and that is create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I love verse 17 that says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The word despise means to hold into contempt. God will never make fun of somebody coming to him with a broken heart. Now, let's be honest. Some of you have confessed a sin to somebody in your life and they made fun of you. Oh, little conscience problem, huh? Finally feel convicted. Have you ever had anybody mock you because you confessed a sin? Sure, we all have had that. God will never do that with you. He'll never make fun of you. He'll never mock you. He'll never chastise you. He won't hold your repentance in contempt, because a broken and a contrite heart is something that God will not hold in contempt.
Well, we'll conclude this message tomorrow. I'm going to ask you to make a special effort to hear it, because I'm going to share a personal story about having to conduct my dad's funeral along with my brother and 2 sisters, and something that my mother asked me to share at my dad's funeral. That's tomorrow on Cross Hope. Crosshope.org is our website, crosshope.org. Now then, today, the final part of a message from Psalm 51, one of the 7 prayers that can change your life, a prayer of David confessing his sin to the Lord. And it can be your prayer that you make even today as you read Psalm 51 aloud to the Lord. I conclude with a story about the death of my father and about being asked by my mother to share something at his funeral that I thought was corny. It was old-fashioned, but it spoke the truth to a lot of people when they heard it. Maybe it'll speak some truth to you. God bless you.
My dad died August 2nd, as many of you know. And the morning of the funeral on August 6th, my mom handed me this piece of paper, and she said, I want you to read at Dad's funeral today. And I said, okay. I don't read poetry in my sermons. I've never been one for poetry. I just can't get into that. It's not condemning anybody else who does, but I just don't read poetry. But I'm going to read to you what I read at my dad's funeral. It was my dad's favorite piece of poetry, and I'll tell you why I think it was, because it spoke to him personally. When you hear it, you'll know why. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good people, he cried. Who starts the bidding for me? $1, $1, do I hear two? $2, who makes it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room far back, a gray-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as the angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what now am I bid for this old violin, as he held it aloft with its bow? 1,000. 1,000. Do I hear two? 2,000. Who makes it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The audience cheered, and some of them cried, we don't understand. What changed its worth? Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with life out of tune, all battered with bourbon and gin, is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd doesn't understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. That's what Psalm 51 is all about, the touch of the Master's hand. God created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Every week of the seven-week series on seven prayers to change your life, I give you an assignment. I want you to take 10, 11, and 12. And today, get alone. Get alone and say this. Pray to the Lord. God create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And the other verses that follow. It can change your life beginning today. Pray this prayer. Live this prayer. Believe this prayer to make a difference. The touch of the Master's hand. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for Psalm 51 and its power in our lives today. May it speak to a man here today who didn't expect anything to happen today. A woman came today and didn't expect anything to happen of significance. But today, you're speaking to their spirit right now in this moment about their need for forgiveness, realizing it's the greatest need in life is not to be happy, it's to be forgiven. My greatest need is not to get what I want, it's to get what I need, the forgiveness of Christ and a new heart that only you can give. Bless this decision time, middle service today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, what could happen if you were to pray that prayer, Psalm 51, 10 through 12 today? Why don't you find out? Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.